Oh, to be young and inexperienced again. Go ghost hunting with your friends, don't really know what to expect, what to do, or how to handle something if it happens. Well, something does happen to a group of teenagers who decide to embark on a ghost hunt. What happens after that? Well, it's kind of craziness. If you want to hear that story, it's on APP Bonus Episode 59 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP. Sign up, and you'll get access to that episode and all 60 some of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. Your support helps keep our show on the air, and we greatly appreciate that. Sign up on the web, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener explains why we are so creeped out by porcelain dolls. It may make you dislike them even more. I don't know that that's possible.
Just wait.
They're really up there on the top of my list.
Just wait.
All right. A child experiences the horror of being dragged under her bed. Yeah, that wouldn't be very fun. Tragedy strikes a neighborhood and one little boy knows where the dead live. And a mysterious creature mocks and throws things at a listener. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm good.
I'm trying to get used to this new little setup here that I've rigged up for our background music and bumpers and soon to use somewhat amount of effects and seeing how this will work.
I think that's going to be interesting with you not knowing what the stories are beforehand, trying to hit the button at the right time to make footsteps. And
you know,
stuff.
It's a matter of knowing where the effects are located.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to try and get like over the top here with effects, but just some little extra accents to the stories. And I think once I kind of get to know where my boxes are and I can easily tap them, I'm good. I used to do crap like this on the radio when it was just live talking in the morning,
mm-hmm.
except that was before we had like computers where I could just simply press a hot button, essentially is what this is. And I had like stacks of CDs that were around that I knew like what was on each CD and what cut was what just by memory.
Uh-huh.
And I had like two CD players going and then I had to like quickly get that CD popped in there, turn it to the right cut, anticipating what was going to happen and press the right key or using a cart. That's another way of doing that too. It was insanity, but I could do it really well. Granted, at the time I was in my early 20s too.
Okay.
And I think I could just move quicker in general. Even on things like that, I was just a little bit more with it. You know,
uh-huh.
I don't know. You just, you know, just as you get a little bit older, I mean, not that I'm all that much older, but it was like, you know, 10, 12 years ago.
Sure.
It, you know, I feel like that part of me, just the, you know, 18 to 23 year old, bam, 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 bam. I can hit this. I can grab that and I can press these buttons really quick and know what's going on over here while I'm holding a conversation that may have been a little fogged down. By now. But we'll see.
So this should be fun.
I'm looking forward to adding a couple new elements to the show. So it should be some good stuff. The phone number is 855-853-4802. You're going to hear like a cat meowing or something when there's supposed to be like a door, like something hitting the door.
Okay.
All of a sudden it's like, and the door had three slams. Ah, shit. Wrong button. So
lots of start and stop.
So here we go. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways for you guys to share your experiences with us. And we, of course, would love to hear them. We'll kick off the show today with our first letter. And I'm going to butcher your name, and I really apologize unless Jenny knows how to say it.
What is it?
Eureka?
Oh, Yerika.
Yerika. See? I knew I was going to butcher it.
Eureka. God.
I'm sorry, Yerika. I've never seen Yerika before.
Uh-huh.
That's a completely new one. What nationality is that?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
It may not be a nationality. We knew a Jerika.
May just be a creative name.
Yeah. And so it spelled the same way, so I thought it was Yerika.
All right. Yerika. Congratulations, you're the first Yerrika I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Hi, guys. First of all, love your shows, especially when Tony is reading the stories. So this happened to me when I was 12 years old. I used to live in a house in Westminster, Colorado. I lived in that house for 15-plus years. I had too many paranormal experiences to last a lifetime. I also have six other brothers and sisters that I lived within the house, and they all have had a lot of experiences. So my first experience was most frightening to me. It was late night, and I was fast asleep in my downstairs room near the stairs. I was woken up from hearing someone running up the stairs super fast. I didn't think anything of it, and I went back to sleep. Suddenly, a couple of minutes later, I heard another person run up the stairs, but they were much quicker than the first. It was about 3 a.m, and I was tired and wanted to go back to sleep, so I shut my eyes and I tried to sleep. Then all of a sudden, I felt something jumping on the edge of my bed. It was like a child was jumping on my bed. It shook my whole bed to the point that I couldn't sleep. I tried looking at it to see what it was, but I couldn't without my glasses. All I remember seeing is white with super long white hair at the edge of my bed. I got so scared that I ran up my stairs crying and screaming. I ran to my parents' room. Turns out that both of my siblings that also sleep downstairs were the first two people that ran upstairs earlier. They were also crying and scared that they saw something with long white hair. It was a small child. My sister was the first person to run up the stairs because she said that her door was open and that she saw the ghost with super long white hair that dragged on the floor, walk in the hallway into my brother's room. My brother was the second to run up because he said that he was woken up by something that had red eyes and scratched his foot. I looked at his foot and had a huge scratches on his big toe. It was scratched to the point that you could see a little blood. My father was pissed, so he ran downstairs and yelled at the ghost. I remember him saying, "You stupid ghost, what guts you have to try and come and attack my children in my own home. You were a living person once that has died, then why don't you die peacefully? There are more of us and less of you. Try to harm my children again, and you'll see what will happen to you." After that, my father came back upstairs. We were all still too scared to go back to our room, so we all slept in the living room that night. The next morning, we all talked about it and thought it was too much of a coincidence to be a dream. Many more nights, we had more activities that I'll tell you about later. An interesting thing I wanted to share was a few years later, my friend who was really sensitive on the paranormal came over from a church activity that my family was hosting at our house. He told me that he sees a little girl with long white hair at the end of the bottom of the stairs, and to be careful because she's not really a little girl. I have plenty of other experiences in the house, like my brother feeling something like long hair on his back, or like when multiple people got pulled down the stairs, or when some youth groups came to my house but went out crying. But I'll save those for another time. Thanks for all that you guys do. I hope to hear Tony read this story soon. Keep up the great work.
Okay, I got to hear the other stories too that she was talking about.
Yeah.
Want to know about the hair and all that, but it sounds like, well, it, the person that's the most sensitive that they had over says it wasn't human, then I would go with that.
Seems like hair is the biggest trait here of this thing,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be.
I just think of the little girl from the bottom of the well on the ring.
Yeah.
That's where my mind always goes.
That's a little creepy. Yeah, it sounds like there's something very odd that was tormenting that family. We would love to hear more of your stories and experiences. That is very, very creepy. Did I say the word yet?
Interesting?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if I did when I was just recounting that or not. If I did, I apologize. I'm trying to break myself of that.
Good luck with
I am.
That.
I'm going to get a shock collar for me. And every time I say it... Now that would be entertaining radio right there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Those things are not going away because we need to remind people all the time, especially new listeners, how to get stories to us.
Yes.
Interesting thing that's up on the message board in our forum section right now, and I'm going to cover it and share more of the story on an upcoming video that I'm putting together for the next Talking Ghosts for our EPPs. But I wanted to just share a little bit of this because it's a really interesting and disturbing story that you'll probably be excited to hear more about.
Okay.
In the upcoming episode in the EPP section, there was a Chuck E. Cheese in 1993. Are you aware of this at all?
Mm-mm.
And this is in Aurora, Colorado.
Okay.
Shooting there.
Yes.
Okay. Now, obviously, there was the theater shooting not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
but there was a Chuck E. Cheese shooting in 1993 there.
Did you look that up?
I did.
Okay.
I just wanted to verify that it existed mm-hmm. and it wasn't some weird story. And it did, in fact, exist. But there's stories that we're getting in from some of the folks who experienced the time there. I don't believe they were there when the shooting happened. They were like in the building, but some of them knew people on those shifts. Some of them knew was going on. Some of them still work in that building. It's no longer a Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's another restaurant. But what happened was there was a shooter that it occurred after hours. I guess if there's anything good that can happen, it didn't happen when the kids were there.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's still a horrible thing, obviously, but at least that wasn't a part of this. Anyway, four people died,
mm-hmm.
employees. It was a rogue, you know, idiot employee that was trying, it went bad, essentially, and went nuts and was trying to get revenge, quote unquote. Anyway, five people were injured, four died. And now this location, people are saying that it's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And they see people, they hear people. Really creepy stuff.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Creepy, interesting. Ah, damn it, interesting. Anyway, but it is very interesting. But it is a very unique story. And we'll be talking about it in an upcoming video of Talking Ghosts for our EPP section. If you want to get that, sign up, and we'll have more on that. But it's a odd story.
Yeah.
And one I'm surprised I hadn't heard about, although we were pretty little at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure if it did make the national news, which I'm sure it did,
mm-hmm.
We were probably somewhat sheltered from that story at that point in time.
Yeah. Gosh, 93. I was 10. You were 11.
Yeah.
So we had other things going on.
Yeah. And that was probably something our parents didn't want us to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's coming up on an upcoming episode there. So I just wanted to share because it's a lot of odd pieces to that. And also an interesting thing. I was almost wondering if that was somewhat of the inspiration for that. I mean, it's a sick, horrible story and sad story. But does that play into that video game, the Friday nights or late nights at whatever the hell it is?
Freddy's?
Yeah.
I don't think so because it's the animatronics that go crazy.
Sure. It just kind of plays into the area of haunted, you know, Chuck E. Cheese-esque type atmosphere.
I would imagine that the creator of the game wasn't shooting for that.
Hopefully not.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, hopefully not. Continuing on with our show today, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Kate writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, it's Kate from the lab. I wrote you a while back about things disappearing at my grandma's house. I'm returning in strange places earlier in the year."
Do you remember that?
Believe so.
It was stuff that would disappear around mm-hmm. Christmas time
okay.
and end up showing up with the Christmas decorations like the next year. Or
yes.
there was something that was like between the mattresses where this poor elderly grandmother couldn't physically uh-huh. get to.
It's like there's no way that certain things are going to end up in these other places.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just misplaced and forgotten about. I do remember that. Yeah. I have another story about another item. It was Thanksgiving. I arrived early to help Grandma get a meal together for our family. When I walked into the kitchen, she said to me, "Look in the dining room for my marker." the one I used to black out my address. I can't find the damn thing anywhere. I start looking for the marker, which was pretty distinctive. It had a black, gray, and yellow stripe label on its metal case, and it had a very strong smell when you opened it. I knew exactly which marker she was talking about. I looked all over, but had the same result as she did. We shrugged it off and thought it might turn up eventually. The day went on, and we spent the afternoon cooking and cleaning and setting the table and staying in the house as it was in November in Pittsburgh. Around 5 o'clock, my mom arrived, so I went to meet her at her car. It was parked in front of the neighbor's house. As I walked towards her, there it was, the marker, on the sidewalk in front of the next-door neighbor's house. I picked it up and brought it in, calling out her name. "Graham, I found your marker." It was outside in front of Brian's house. The look on her face was priceless. How it got there, we'll never know for sure. We'd like to believe it's my grandpa. I can't wait to download and share my favorite episodes with my boyfriend on our road trip next week. I'm hoping he agrees on becoming an EPP. Love you guys so much. Keep up the great work. Jenny, I hope you're writing another Christmas story this year.
I don't know about that. I haven't come across anything that I wanted, that I felt, you know, compelled to research and write a story about.
Krampus.
I'm not talking about Krampus. No.
The joy that Krampus brings to little children all over the world.
So I don't know yet if there'll be another story. But about her story, Kate's story, if there hadn't been all the history that she'd written in, I'd be like, okay, maybe the dog took it out, or maybe grandma was carrying it and didn't realize it and just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got a history of somebody moving things around and misplacing them all the time.
Yeah, and if it's your marker, too, that you just use to black out things, typically that's not something you're carrying around outside.
Mm-mm.
When you're raking the leaves or whatever you may be doing. It's just odd that, hey, it goes from here to there. And the items do tend to be found.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like there's some intent there with whoever is moving them to a place where it knows that this will be found by whoever it's intending to have find it.
Well, and this was around Thanksgiving. Kate, correct me if I'm wrong, but it mm-hmm. seems like this seems to really spike around the holidays. And mm-hmm. so maybe there's something that plays into that, too.
I could see that. Our next story, Kelly writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Kelly from Barking in Excess, which is just outside of London. I've written in before with my headless apparition story. I've been a sensitive for as long as I can remember. So I've had a lot of different events that have happened that have only seemed strange after the fact. I'd like to share a few with you. In around 1989, my mom and her partner decided to look into buying a house. We've been looking for a while without much success when two came up in our price range in the same road. My mom was thrilled as her friend owned a business at the corner of the road, so she set up viewings. We went to see the first house, which is owned by a little Jewish tailor. As soon as we walked in, it felt horrific. Like something evil was lurking inside. It was very dark and felt like witches had the house from a fairy tale. We made a quick trip round to the left. But a week later, we went to see the second house. We were told that it had been a student accommodation and that no one lived there anymore. As soon as the estate agent opened the door, the smell was disgusting. It was worse to come. As we walked around the house, we discovered that the previous tenants had left it in a terrible state. There were clothes left all over the house, and moldy food was left on plates. Looked like the Marie Celeste. It was as if they'd left it in a hurry without taking most of their possessions. Again, this house felt evil, and the atmosphere was very oppressive. We made our excuses and left as soon as possible. The strange thing is that we all suffered nightmares that night, all brought on by this house. Needless to say, we fell out of the idea of buying a house after this. Another time, some years later, my mom was recovering from major surgery. She had to sleep on the couch as she wasn't allowed to go up and downstairs, and as the bathroom was downstairs, we decided she should stay down there. This particular morning, I was just coming into my room to shut my mom. And as clear as day, I heard my name being called. I looked down at my mom and she was looking at me. She said that wasn't me, but we had both heard it. To wrap up, I'd like to explain a couple of questions you've asked over the last few episodes. The coins and pipes rattling that one of your other listeners described when her and her sister were looking at houses, this is normally associated with poltergeist activity. Not all poltergeist activity is nasty. The reason that porcelain dolls can seem creepy is that during Victorian times, the well-to-do would often commission dolls that resembled their daughters. However, with the mortality rates of even rich children, these dolls often turned out to be almost memorials to the dead child. Also, during the Victorian era, it was believed that spirits would leave the body and could become stuck in reflective surfaces such as mirrors. Hence, the Victorians would cover mirrors with black cloth, and the curtains would be kept drawn as not to confuse the spirit. Quite often, the dead would be dressed and posed with family so that a post-mortem photograph could be taken, as photography was expensive and time-consuming, so this often was the only time that they could have a photograph taken. It's probably why most of us sensitives and empaths don't like mirrors, dolls, and old photographs. I'm sorry if this is too long, but I hope that it might be helpful without being waffly. I love the show, and I've had so many great nights listening and re-listening to your show. I hope it goes on and on, that you're both happy to do it for as long as possible. Warm wishes and lots of love from a wet, dreary Tuesday in Barking.
Okay, that's just even creepier than I even realized that porcelain dolls were.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were kind of like a, could be like a memorial.
Uh-huh.
That's awful.
Well, then it kind of makes you wonder how many, you know, molds of porcelain dolls that are out there that are being produced today. Where did they originate? Where did that design come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, of course, you know, there's new designers that come over to make, you know, dolls and faces and stuff. But sometimes it's, oh, well, this one is inspired after this one, which was from this company at that time. And, you know, it eventually goes back to who's dead kid.
Right. Yeah, that's, I just don't like that at
all. Porcelain dolls. You liked porcelain dolls, didn't you?
I did. I remember being 5 and asking for one for Christmas, and I got one. Mm-hmm. And I think I had maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But, that's just creepy.
It is. It's very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it didn't get quite as bad as I thought it was going. I thought they were going to be like, well, then, and then sometimes they'd put the child's ashes into the doll or something. Yeah. Which, you know, probably happened as well. If it's kind of like the memorial, kind of urn-like, you know.
They use the child's hair.
Yeah, and actually, and you know, that sounds extremely morbid and sick.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, the hair thing was actually the norm.
I know.
There was hair art and things of that nature. So before you go, oh my God, Jenny, that's disturbing. No, I mean, she's right on.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much what, you know, it's messed up when you go into an antique store sometimes. Sometimes, I mean, it's fairly rare to see this because we're talking way, way, way back, and these sort of items don't tend to pop up in antique stores all that much. But sometimes you do find art, especially like the behind the glass type art and very intricate weavings. And you're like, what the heck is that? That's not thread. It's hair.
Yeah,
it is hair. There's a hair museum.
I was just about to say that. Devoted to that.
Yeah, where is that? That's
I'll look it up.
Should add that to our list of family vacation spots that we should
take
the kids to in lieu of going to an amusement park sometime. Hey, kids, where are we going? Hairland. Yeah, we're going to look at Victorian-era hair behind glass. You wanted to see Mickey? We're going to see hair.
Oh, it's in Independence, Missouri. We could actually go there.
That's not that far off.
Mm-mm.
There we go. All right. Family vacation settled. Jessica writes in, I have many stories of inexplicable things happening to me growing up. I want to share the most disturbing phenomena that will shake, that still shakes me to this day. I'll later write in with other stories if you wish. This story takes place in an apartment my family and I lived in from time to time, from the time I was born until I reached the age of 5. It was a tiny bachelor-style apartment. Our living room was our bedroom, where my parents' bed was conjoined with my own smaller bed, and the bathroom was actually outside in the hallway, where it was shared with tenants from 2 other apartments. The kitchen was only a few steps away from our bed. We had one closet that we did not use because the head of my bed was blocking it. As a child, I distinctly remember playing on my bed and hearing the closet doorknob jiggle as if someone or something was trying to get out. Whatever, or whenever this happened, I would quickly drop my dolls and run a small distance from my bed to the kitchen where my mom would be usually cooking or talking on the phone. The worst experience, however, happened late one night. I woke up with a strong urge to pee. I lay in bed contemplating whether I should get up or just go back to sleep because I was too scared to get up. As I mentioned before, the bathroom was outside in the hallway, so my mother had brought me a training potty that I could use during the night so I wouldn't step out into the hallway. It would be slightly hidden under the bed so no one would accidentally trip on it in the morning when getting up. Anyway, I finally could not hold it any longer and I decided I'd get up. I held my doll for comfort, slid out of bed, gripping her to my chest. I bent over to reach for the potty, but I couldn't reach it. I had to slightly crawl under the bed, reach it, in order to pull it out. As I crawled under, I felt something rip my doll from my arms, and it was flung across the floor under the bed, far away from my reach. I froze, unable to see anything, for it was pitch black under the beds. I quickly started crawling backwards to get out from under the beds, but at that moment I felt two frosty hands grip me from my wrists and pull me all the way inside under the beds up to the closet door. I yelled at the top of my lungs, crying, and woke my parents up quickly. They turned on the lights and dragged me out from under the bed where I was just screaming but unable to move, paralyzed from the fear. To this day, I believe there was something sinister behind the closet that wanted to drag me into the closet that night. At an older age, my mom revealed to me stories of what she experienced in that apartment. I have many other stories about this apartment, including the story of a former tenant who practiced black magic and was found one day dead in her apartment. This could possibly be the reason this apartment complex was highly active. If you like these stories, please let me know. Thanks.
We always want to hear more stories.
Yes, please do share more stories.
That's the worst middle of the night story I think I've heard.
Being dragged underneath the bed to the closet?
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly go wrong?
That's horrible.
That would, that would be something where it would take a lot to, I think, ever get over the fear of darkness or. You know, small, confined, dark spaces like closets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a very, you know, difficult one as an adult to move on from.
I think so, too.
Because it would just be so, you know, just ingrained in you.
I think I'd want to have one of those beds. It's like a platform bed to where there's no space underneath.
Oh, yeah.
So nothing could be under the bed.
Sure, sure. That would be, yeah, I agree. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you enjoy this program, we would love for you to become an EPP and help keep it on the air. It's only $5 a month, and you'll get all the bonus episodes, 60-some of those, access to exclusive video content as well. It's a lot of good stuff for you, and it's a thank you for helping to keep this show going. Without our EPPs, this show would not be continuing. So please, if you like it, consider throwing a little on the kitty and keeping it alive. Victoria writes in, "Hey guys, I've had a couple of experiences and I will share one since it's probably one of the scariest to me. In 2009, I was living in Grand Prairie, Texas, and I was about 17 at the time. I lived in that house since 2003, and I never had a paranormal experience, and never in that house. It was around 4 a.m. and I had to be up in 3 hours for school. I was in a deep sleep and woke up for no reason. Something didn't feel right when I woke up, so I didn't open my eyes. Then from my closet, which is directly in front of my bed, I could hear music. I didn't want to go check to see what it was, but after a minute, it stopped. So I slowly opened my eyes and scanned the room to see if I saw anyone. There was no one. So I decided to get out of bed and check my closet to find the sound. As I stepped towards the closet, I heard it again. I knew what it was this time. At this point, 2 years ago, my grandma had given us a Christmas-themed music box that, when opened, there was a little train that would go in a circle, and the "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" melody would play. The box had not been touched since then and was in an old backpack that was stuffed with junk that I didn't use anymore, and that music box was at the bottom. I was freaked out, but I took out the box, opening it, and nothing happened. No music or moving train. I threw the box back in the bag, stuffed it back up, and even put some clothes on top of the bag to muffle the sound, and slept in my sister's room. The next day, I told my parents, and they didn't believe me and said that it was all a dream and it didn't really happen. After school, I came home and watched TV with my dogs until it was time to pick up my sister at 4. The TV had been on for about 5 minutes and then turned off, so I figured I sat on the remote. When I looked up for it, it was on the coffee table in front of me. I turned it back on and went to the kitchen to get a snack, and as soon as I came back, it was off again. I got really freaked out at this point and just left and took my two dogs with me. I have no idea what it could have been because the grandma who gave me the box is still alive. The previous owners lived in the house for 10 years before they moved to buy a smaller house. I'm the only one who has ever had paranormal experiences in my family since then. Hope y'all can give me some insight about my experience. I have more stories to submit, but I enjoy listening much more. I'm a proud EPP and I've got some friends hooked on the show as well.
You know, I don't think that there's always a correlation or a tie between an object and who it was given by or who it had belonged to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there could just simply be a spirit passing through that maybe found it in the closet and knew it was a way to get some attention.
Sure. It was a way, something it could manipulate.
Yeah.
Essentially to make it move. You know, when I was listening and reading that story, I had a kind of a flashback to a little music box I had as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little, it was a Christmas one too. It was a little round. In fact, I recently found it in a box I was going through around here.
Mm-hmm.
One of those many boxes my mother brings me with random things that were mine that she's found in her attic. And this one, it got a lot of love and we're playing with it. There's not all the pieces are still on it. And it was just a little round wind up music box. And it had a little train on it too. And it had a little Christmas tree on it. And it would just go in a circle. The train didn't physically move, but the platform it was on did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of made it look like the train's moving around. And it played a Christmas tune. I don't remember what Christmas tune it played. But it was, it broke eventually when I was a kid. But it still sat up on my shelf, high up. And I never really touched it, never really played with it. It was that shelf right there. And I remember many a times over the years, because when you wound it, it just didn't do anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think the spring in it broke or something. But many a times over the years throughout my childhood, every once in a while, you'd be in my room and you'd hear one chime.
That's so weird.
And that's it.
Ugh.
And it's like, and I just wrote it off to it being, you know, the spring's already broken on it because you couldn't wind it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't do anything. But every once in a while, bling. And that's it. And it had not been touched. And I just thought, well, maybe the spring, you know, it is so tight or something in there. And now over the years, it's just slowly loosening.
Was it a wooden music box?
I believe the top part was wood, yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe, you know, as things... wood shrinks and mm-hmm. expands and contracts with moisture and
yeah.
temperature and humidity. You know, maybe the box itself shrunk or expanded just enough to make the mechanism actually move.
Maybe. I mean, I did not write that to paranormal. I haven't even thought of it since.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things where it kind of brought back a memory. It never like really played the full song or anything. Maybe you'd get bling, bling, like two notes out of it. At a time, but that would be it. It wouldn't like sit there and play and then, oh, you can't get this thing to work. But it plays by itself when it hasn't been touched for 5 years.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't know if I would put that into the paranormal world, but it did kind of bring back some interesting memories. There's been things like that on the show that do that.
I think the show does that for a lot of people.
Where it's like, oh my God, yeah, that mm-hmm. was kind of odd. I never thought of it like that. So there's my story. I would have written that story in and probably embellished as well.
And embellished.
Mark writes in, let me start by saying I don't believe in ghosts, but I do love, love, love ghost stories. Your show is a gold mine. I love it. And thank you so much for making every day so spooky and fun. Now, while I do not believe in the paranormal, I do have two stories that are really weird. Not really ghostly, but strange stories, I think. I hope you think so, too. First, my uncle died at the age of 49 in 2004. After his funeral, I was speaking with my mom. She mentioned that she had a reoccurring dream of attending his funeral, even though he was younger than her. But she thought it was strange that she never dreamed about attending any other funeral for her five brothers or sisters. She never even dreamed of attending her own mother's funeral. She would joke that must mean she was probably going to be the next to go, even though she was now the youngest. Well, she was right. A lifelong pack, a day smoker, she passed away in 2012 of cancer. Before her brothers and sisters, and before my grandmother, who was still kicking it in her mid-90s. Next story, in 1992, when I was in 7th grade, my neighbor kind of lost it and killed himself and his girlfriend. It's actually a pretty okay book written about it. Let me know if you'd like the title. I don't want you to think I'm advertising it. Fast forward to 2013, my family is cleaning out my parents' house when the neighbor boy came over, chasing his dog. He was around 7 or 8, chatting, pretty funny too. Before long, his mom came over and told him to bring the dog back. He looked at me all serious as hell and said, "I don't like having the dog in the house. There's a dog killer in the basement." Well, when my neighbor killed himself and his girlfriend in 1992, he also killed his dog in the basement. Weird, huh? Well, better get back to work. Keep cool, my babies, and thanks again.
That's weird. Ugh.
Being called my babies, or...
No, the dog killer in the basement. It makes you wonder what this little kid sees to know that that guy killed the dog.
Well, there's one of two things that happened. Either the parents shared the wonderful story with their child over mac and cheese and hot dogs one night, the kid's seeing dead people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe he's seeing the person, but it's like, okay, how is he seeing the person? How does he know that that person killed the dog as well as the girlfriend and himself?
Is he, like, threatening his dog?
That's what I'm wondering, that, or is...
Is he seeing the dog being killed?
Yeah. Something.
I don't know. Yes, those are creepy experiences. How can you listen to this show for a long time and still not believe in ghosts? That's my only question.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, though. I absolutely love that. We really do appreciate it. And to each their own, maybe eventually we'll get you to come over. Brittany writes in, "One night when I was about 6 or 7, I went downstairs with some blankets and made a bed on the floor next to my parents for the night. I did that a lot whenever I got scared or just didn't feel like sleeping alone in my room. When I laid down, I was facing their bed. There was no bed skirt and it was fairly high off the ground, so I was just staring into the darkness underneath it. Within what seemed like seconds, I started to see something. Like it was made up of those white dots you sometimes see in complete darkness. It had big, hollow eyes and long, bony fingers motioning for me to come. I wasn't scared at first. I just laid staring at it, thinking it was just my mind playing tricks on me in the dark. After about 3 minutes of watching it, I started to get creeped out and moved a bit further away. Once I had done that, my cat came over to lie with me. In the moment, he got in between me and that thing, he whipped his head over and looked at it and took off like a bat out of hell all the way to the other end of the house. After that, I realized that if my cat could see it, it wasn't just in my head. The fear hit my stomach and I sat up and gasped so loud I woke up my mom. She, half awake, yelled at me to go to bed. I ran upstairs horrified and confused about what I had just seen. Shortly after I laid in bed, my cat jumped up as if to see if I was okay. Never seen anything again after that, but when I had told my little sister, she said she had also seen something. She said a big, all-black creature that looked almost like a lion with hooves would just sit in her doorway and stare at her sometimes. I can't help but wonder if that was the same thing I had seen, but in a different form. Years later, when I was in high school, my best friend had told one of her friends my story, and he had a book about demons who take children from their parents and was giving her some very creepy information about it, which really freaked me out. Makes me worry about my kids seeing something like that one day. My mom tells me I was just dreaming, but I know I wasn't. Guess I'll never really know what that was, but every time My legs are next to the side of the bed. I still get the creeps and worry about the possibility of seeing it again.
If the cat saw it, it wasn't a dream.
Yeah, I think that's that pretty much sums it up.
That's about all I can say on it.
If the cat saw it, it wasn't a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are more sensitive to see these things than others.
I think it's especially creepy that the friend of a friend had a book talking about what she saw.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously something of a somewhat common occurrence mm-hmm. for some children. So thank you for sharing that experience. Karen writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Karen again from Chicago. I've called and written in a couple of times, which is the one time I wrote in talking about my porcelain doll having the spirit of a little girl." Ooh, more porcelain doll stories. Or is this one's not about porcelain doll? She's just referencing her.
Just referencing.
Oh, okay. We got to kill the porcelain doll music. But I wanted to share yet another story with you. This happened to me at my current apartment. The first incident occurred during my spring break. My roommate went down to Texas to visit her family, so I had the place to myself. I fell asleep one night on the couch while watching something on Hulu. I then started having my dream in which I saw myself sleeping on the couch, but standing right in front of me, also watching me sleep, was a young girl. She looked young, perhaps early teens. She was just there watching me sleep. I then saw her reach out to me. As soon as her hand touched my arm, I woke up from a sudden jolt, like the ones you feel when you dream that you're falling. I was terrified and very cold. I quickly turned the TV back on and started watching something that would distract me. The second incident occurred just last week. My roommate and I were going to wake up prior to 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning because we had an apartment viewing scheduled, so I set my alarm to wake up at 6:45. I heard my alarm clock, which was on the dresser, so I got up, hit the snooze button, and went back to bed. I remember that I went to the living room, saw my roommate lying on the couch. I asked her what she was doing, and she said that she couldn't sleep, so she was watching TV. I shrugged and went back to bed. This all in my dream. Flash forward some minutes and I heard someone call out, "Karen!" So I woke up thinking I overslept and it was my roommate waking me up. Got up, walked over to her room, but she was sound asleep. I brushed it off and took a shower. Later she told me that she heard my alarm go off around 6:45, so she woke up. She looked up and saw me walking from the living room back into my bedroom. Mind you, I never did actually go into the living room at that time. Not sure what exactly happened, but I have a feeling that whomever it was that she saw and that called my name is somehow connected to the girl I saw in my dream reaching out to me. Now, a brief history on the building. Our landlord had told me, me and my roommate, that when he bought this building, it had originally belonged to an old man. This man told him that the building used to be some type of temporary boarding house. Many of the immigrants, predominantly from Czechoslovakia of the early 20th century, were settling into what is now Pilsen. Some would come to the building and stay while they found more permanent homes. Our landlord says that when he first bought the building, the second floor was filled with single rooms, complete with what appeared to be a bathroom. He decided to tear down all the walls and create three apartments that are here today, mine being one of them. So who knows who came and went, or maybe who never left. Sorry for the super long story, and I hope you enjoy it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think this may be. Did I imagine the whole thing? Is there something actually here? Am I being followed? I'll be moving soon to a new apartment in a house that was built in the late 1800s. I'll definitely keep you posted if I happen to experience anything there. If not, which would be a first, I'll still write in later to tell you about the woman who scared the crap out of my dad when he was a younger man appearing and following him around my aunt's house. Thank you very much. Love the show. Want to become an EPP as my Christmas treat. Blessings, Karen.
I think that maybe not being followed, but just, you know, one of those people where spirits are attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
Given the age of the apartment she's moving to, I look for more stories to come in. But the part where she dreamt that she got up and went into the living room, but she didn't actually do it, but then her friend saw her, makes you wonder if it was a doppelganger or if she astral projected.
I don't know that it necessarily connects to the little girl that she saw in the dream,
mm-hmm.
because this is a fairly common occurrence. It sounds somewhat like the astral projection
mm-hmm.
type scenario that's going on there. Weird things happen in the early morning hours when you're sleeping, and the snooze button can do amazing things
yeah.
with your mind mm-hmm. when you're using that. I have so many strange dreams at that time than any other, where sometimes they feel like they've gone on for a long time, and I'm like, oh my God, that was only 10 minutes of time.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it where I dreamt that I actually got up and started doing things, and then I woke up again, just like she did.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that like successively for a long, that's why I don't even use it really. I hit it once and I'm pretty much awake. When it goes off the second time, that's when I physically get out of bed.
But you're not asleep again.
I don't go back to sleep. I usually like grab my phone or something or just kind of sit there for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use it as an extra 10 minutes of sleep.
Because when the alarm goes off, I take a couple minutes, but I'm up. I don't wait mm-hmm. for snooze. So whatever happens after I leave bed, I have no idea.
I'm already up. I'm awake and ready to go.
Okay.
And I'm just ready.
Yeah.
I don't like snooze.
No.
Snooze is evil. So there you go. 855-853-4802, our number. AJ writes in, this occurred when I was just hitting high school. I lived in a small town, didn't even have a red light. Georgetown, Georgia. It was right on the Alabama line. Across the lake was another town, which I can't pronounce the name
Eufaula.
Of. Eufaula, Alabama. There we go. Where I went to school. We recently built a house in Georgetown on about 3 acres. Land was spread out, trees here and there, with a large ditch at the back of the property. On the other side of the ditch was a peanut field. One morning before school, I walked out to feed my dog, Foxy. She was a large orange German Shepherd and Husky mix. She's waiting for her food, but not this morning. She was looking back towards the ditch, just like she'd seen a deer. I looked up and I saw a shadow of a man running along the ditch with a wheelbarrow. I wonder what the hell. He was strolling very quickly, but I couldn't make out any details, only a shadow. Another thing was, his legs weren't moving. I wonder if I was seeing things, but then I remember my dog could see this man as well. I thought it was creepy, but kind of cool, in a way. A few nights later, I'm walking up to our shop. Once I got to unlock the door, an acorn hits me in the side of the face. Funny, right? I thought so, too. After all, the tree that hung over me had acorns, but hit in the side of my face? Whatever, I brushed it off. Whatever I got from the shop, I don't remember. I went to get or put up something. I was locking the door behind me, and as I'm locking it, another acorn hits me in the back of my head hard. I have common sense. They weren't dropping. The wind wasn't blowing, and they don't fall sideways. So I turned around, mad at this point, and I asked, what the fuck is this shit, to whomever or whatever was throwing acorns at me? The bushes start moving a little, and something comes out. I had to laugh of a person, but I swear to you, it did not sound human. It had the sound of a hyena, almost. High-pitched, weird. As you know, there are no hyenas in South Georgia, obviously. As it's laughing at me, I heard what sounded like claws hitting the driveway, kind of like a dog with overgrown claws running on concrete. As it fades away into the darkness, I follow the sound with my eyes, never seeing anything. I was actually a little angry. Something was in my yard messing with me. I walked in, went to my room, and as I lay down in bed to play Black Ops, it hit me what just happened. These are two stories that actually happened to me as a teenager. It may not seem like much, but I couldn't explain it. It's one of the only interactions I've had, and I still don't understand.
I wonder if the shadow with the wheelbarrow, which that's a new one, a shadow man actually doing some work,
mm-hmm.
If that is at all related to the acorn-throwing, hyena-sounding creature.
Can you say that 3 times fast?
No.
I don't know. Maybe he's gathering acorns in the wheelbarrow. I want to know how true. I wonder, was the wheelbarrow a physical object, or was the wheelbarrow part of this whole
the shadow
apparition?
I'm guessing it was part of the shadow.
Yeah. But even creepier if it was actually a physical wheelbarrow.
Right?
Moving down by itself. Ghost landscapers. Interesting story. And I said interesting once again.
There you go.
Angelo writes in, I never intended on putting this to print, but here is one of many encounters I've had with what I'll never really fully understand. Up until I was 15, my parents and I lived in a ranch-style home in Waterford, Michigan, on a street named Dormis Avenue. The house was built around 1955 and had a crawl space and all the normal creaks and knocks throughout the night. Nothing special, just your average three-bedroom home. Waterford at the time of around 1650 was used by the native Potawatomi and the Ottawa Indians as hunting and fishing territory. If this is mistaken by in any way, please correct me. This is the only history I could find about the area. I remember I was about 10 years old and I used to fall asleep in our TV room that had a day bed. I dozed off about 10 p.m. and around 1 a.m. I heard my dad get up to use the restroom and I see him walk past down the hall and I hear him close the bathroom door. I turn onto my back and lie there until I went back to sleep. After around 5 minutes, I feel the bed move as if someone was leaning over the rail above my head. I clear my eyes and gain focus and I see hovering above me is a dark shadow. Thinking it was my dad, I ask what's wrong and get no response. I hear my dad on the other side of the house in the kitchen and my mom moving around their bedroom. The dark figure just leaned over me and I hear the water from the kitchen sink from the other side of the house. I knew it wasn't my mom because she was in her bed and it was not my father. I lied flat on my back in fear and I noticed the smell of what was like a rotting animal on the side of the road. I tried to hold my breath but couldn't because I was in such fear. The figure peered into my eyes, and all I could see was a dark silhouette. I noticed outlining the facial area was what looked like long hair and feathers. I could still remember the one feather sticking out to the left side and being able to see my ceiling through the texture of it. I began to feel a pressure in my chest as the figure hovered above my face, and then I heard my dad walk down the hall into his and my mother's room, and I closed my eyes for at least a few seconds. When I opened them, the figure was gone. After that night, I felt the presence I never felt before in the house. I would come home from school or wake up the next morning and find objects in my room misplaced. We had a detached garage where my dad had his band equipment and drums, and I'd hear what was like someone's drum or the sound of them being knocked over. We were all inside the bed, and the garage was fully secure, but sure enough, I'd go out there the next morning and find sticks or a drum lying on the garage floor. As I said, this was one of many encounters I experienced in that house. I have about 3 more pages of this topic if you care to receive it as well.
Always, yes, send those to us. So do you think he was seeing possibly a Native American from the area?
I'd say possibly, judging by the appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or one of those people that dress in like chicken suits and hold up signs for used car sales that got hit.
What?
On the interstate.
Okay.
Because he said the figure, he could tell there was a feather on it. He couldn't tell a whole lot else about the appearance of it, but there was a feather, so I'm thinking chicken suit.
Okay, sure.
You know, the figures that they dress in the costumes.
Just happened to get hit on the interstate.
Could have got hit by the interstate, now haunts his house.
Okay.
That's the other stretch I'm going to. But much more likely, probably based on the land and what he's talking about, it could possibly be a Native American ghost in some sort of traditional attire. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not all super common, you know, these days for one to be wearing feathers.
No.
Unless you are in a chicken suit,
mm-hmm.
holding a sign for a used car, or maybe free muffler check or oil change. Turn here now. There's that clown that's in our town.
The pizza clown.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Just like that. See, it's not too far fetched now, is it?
No.
I always say about the pizza clown, I'm like, I wonder how many people like that get hit in a year. And it's a morbid thought, but he's always in the road. Hawking pizza 5 blocks down that way. And it's just, yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Now that would be a scary ghost. That could be another zombie ghost clown if he doesn't stay cautious.
Zombie pizza clown.
There's a lot of bad drivers.
Yeah.
And he could be a zombie ghost pizza clown if he doesn't play his cards right.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he doesn't get hit, because I don't want a zombie ghost pizza clown, you know, a couple, you know, miles down the road from our house.
I've got nothing.
That's the thought of the day. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you would like to keep this show on the air, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP. $5 a month is all we ask. Get all the bonus episodes, 60-some of those, exclusive video content, and more. It's a nice little package of extras for you that gets updated every single week. So please check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. You will not regret it. Some great, great stories in those EPP episodes. Until next time. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.